Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
About as good a start as you could have for Tennessee. Tannehill looks for the home run ball. Separation! Khalif Raymond hauls it in! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Here's Mahomes looking open field for a moment. He may have been past the line of scrimmage. It's called a touchdown. I tell you, this is going to be close Chiefs territory. It's caught by Kelce.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Rodgers deep drop looking. Pops it over the left side. Devontae wide open. Outside the numbers 20. Cuts it back right past Flowers. 10 to the 5. To the end zone. High stepping. Touchdown. Devontae Adams. 40 yards.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Two in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you.
What is happening
on this Monday afternoon?
What is happening?
Not the snow.
Not the snow.
Suck it, snow. Portland snow. One, snow zero.
The snow. Well, is that a win for Portland if it doesn't snow? That's an L for me.
Driving in the snow? Because I hate it.
Look, I love everything about
it. I just came from snow, so it was really snowing in Salt Lake City.
That was the biggest disappointment of the weekend, I thought, was did you see the weather at Lambeau last night right when the game ended?
Snowed.
It dumped snow. Like an hour after the game, everything was completely covered and there was live shots going on. It was dumping snow right when the game ended.
Would the snow have helped or hurt Russell Wilson's incredible single-handed comeback?
I don't know.
I don't know. Doesn't help Malik Turner catch that ball to keep the final drive going. Well, so
there's that. Yeah.
I mean, if he couldn't
catch
it. Don't
fall behind by 18 and Malik Turner's catch doesn't matter.
I don't know. Maybe it helps the offensive lineman move the defensive line of Green Bay a little better. Maybe they can't dig in. I don't know.
Yeah, but he was so his game wasn't planned at all. Like, his entire plan of attack was, I'm going to improvise.
So Marshawn Lynch could get more than 2.1 yards per rush.
Yeesh, yeah, that wasn't too
good. Oh, you mean signing somebody that's 33, 34 off the street from serving tequila shots as your running back isn't a good idea?
I just feel... You know,
is that breaking news?
There's huge disappointment for Seahawks fans, but part of me is like,
your team wasn't good.
You did it with smoke and mirrors the last 4 weeks with all of those injuries. If they had one of those running backs, Carson or Penny, how differently could this postseason have played out for them?
Well, don't forget, Dwayne Brown played like 5 days after having knee surgery, so that didn't help him. Look, Carson is better. Like, I think he's better between him and Penny. Their team's just not that good. Like, they were carried by Russell Wilson this year.
Well, and it changes everything they want to do offensively when you can't run the ball like that. And I think that's where, if I were a Seahawks fan, this is now back-to-back years in the postseason where you leave frustrated because last year they lost in Dallas. So it was a wild card game, I think, right? A wild card game in Dallas. And they didn't let Russell Wilson lose. Like, they continued to run the football. They were banging their head against the wall. It wasn't working. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the league and a guy that's a perennial MVP candidate. Like, trust him to go out there and win you games and make plays. And you look at the split between the first half and the second half for them yesterday, it was night and day. The only drive that they didn't score on in the second half was the one when Turner dropped an easy first down. And if he catches that, they probably score a touchdown on that drive and win the damn game.
Yeah, I think we're all thinking the same
thing
there.
They scored on their first three drives of the second half because what did they finally do? They finally said, you know what, Russ, we're down in this game. We need to turn you loose a little bit. And he ran around and made plays, and Green Bay couldn't stop him unless the offense stopped themselves. They had a drive in the first half of that game with all of their running backs out, trusting Marshawn Lynch, where they turned around, handed it off three times, and punted. That is inexcusable.
You're giving up.
You're Seattle.
I mean, you're just giving up on a possession.
That is to not ever, like, at least you want to try and establish a run, whatever. I still disagree with that because you couldn't run it against Philly. I don't know what made you think you're going to be able to run it against Green Bay.
Yeah, what changed? Marshawn was still old and slow, and your offensive line was banged up.
I know, you know, Green Bay is not necessarily dominant up front, but Philly wasn't the best rush defense in the NFL either, and they shut you down completely. To have a drive in which you don't even give Russell Wilson one chance to move the chains, even like on a third and short, yikes, man. You got it. Like, when they finally let him loose, Seattle couldn't be stopped. But they just decided, for whatever reason, to wait until the second half to do that.
Well, you know, I guess we're just going to start the show talking about one of the games then.
We'll just dive right in.
I was going to have snow conversation.
We'll save that for later this week when we get 6 inches Wednesday night into Thursday.
I hate to tell you, but we're not getting snow.
You got to have positive thinking, my man.
No, we're going to get a light dusting tomorrow. Everybody's going to get their panties in a twist and then it'll melt and go away. My observation was this, like everything about that game went exactly how I thought. It was maybe a little backwards and a little disorganized from how I thought it was going to play out in describing it on the show Friday. But if you told me, hey, guess what Seattle's going to do? I would probably respond with probably start slow, right? Slow start.
They always start slow.
Run the ball, get nothing, keep running the ball, get nothing. Have a huge lead that feels insurmountable to like 99% of the league and then go, oh, Russell, please save us. That's what the Seahawks are.
And he'll save you and give you a chance.
I hate to upset any 12s out there if you take this the wrong way. You guys had a great year, but you only had a great year because Pete Carroll had a couple really good games as a coach. He was able to keep the chaos yet again and kind of get everybody to buy in. And then Russell Wilson going out and actually like saving the team in 3 or 4 games, including the Philly game last weekend, including this past weekend where you narrowly lost, but you almost had that upset in Lambeau.
Well, and think all the plays he made in that Monday night game against San Francisco.
Like, there's another example too right there. Like I watched it and I thought, yeah, this is exactly what's happening. You, I, and a friend of the show, Kyle Knepper, were texting through the weekend on some of the games. Not a lot of texts, just a couple here and there. And you and I, like, we're texting the same thing. We text the same thing in the Chiefs-Texans game.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Bill O'Brien's the coach, right? This game ain't over.
They still got a chance.
They were down 18 in Green Bay, and I was sitting on my couch going, they're going to come back because Russell Wilson's that damn good, and 18 is like, they score a touchdown. Okay, well, now it's 11, then you score one more, and it starts to get really uncomfortable in that stadium. It's like, wait, we're only up 4 now. And that's basically what happened. It was 4-5. That was the difference. And so I'm not stunned that this result happened and that's how it played out because they're so damn stubborn as a franchise. And I don't know what it is. Russell's first few years, I do think he was a game manager.
And there's nothing wrong with that because they could run the football and they had the best defense, one of the best in the history of the league.
Exactly. And you could trust your quarterback. When you're a game manager that's good, you can be trusted. And then over the years, they've obviously handed the reins to him of this franchise and said, we're not paying this guy or that guy. We're going to pay you. Marshawn Lynch had 12 carries. That's like 7 too many.
Yeah.
You want to give him 5? Great. Russell Wilson should have had 7 more possessions to either run the ball or make a throw. And that's the example of poor coaching on the offensive side of the ball that if I'm a Seahawks fan, I think I'm most pissed about that. Yeah, your defense isn't great. Your offensive line's banged up and you didn't have great running backs. But it's like, you know you don't have great running backs. You know Duane Brown just came off surgery. Give Russell Wilson 6 to 7 extra possessions that you would normally run the ball in and say, go win it for us. Seemed to work well for Kansas City.
It did,
and
man.
Seattle continues to do this. They shoot themselves in the foot at the start of every single big game, it seems like.
And you think, too, I mean, what kind of changed the trajectory at the end of the year for them was losing that Week 17 game against San Francisco, and what plagued them in that one? A slow start. They did the same exact thing. What were they down? 13-0?
10-13-0.
Whatever it was at the half.
That's what they did, by the way, the previous game against the Niners, too. They were down 10-0 after one.
I mean, you dig yourself a hole. It takes you a while to get out of it. And then finally, you realize, hey, we're losing. We need Russell Wilson to go out there and make plays. And guess what? It happens every single time. It's very difficult to stop Russell Wilson when he's playing backyard football. He's scrambling. He's using his arm. He's using his legs. And there's nothing a defense can necessarily do. They had 4 drives in the second half. 3 of them turned into touchdowns for Seattle, and that to me as a fan would just be incredibly frustrating because you want to put the ball in the hands of your best player and give them a chance to win the game, and it felt like they didn't do it until it was too late.
Well, in the middle of your rants, we just got big breaking news. So everybody knows, or at least heard, I think, at this point, the Astros getting suspended their GM Jeff Lanau and AJ Hinch, the manager, for 1 year. Jim Crane, the owner, just fired both.
Good.
Get them the hell out of there.
Yeah, this was, I mean, there's so much going on right now. My head's spinning.
I know. I almost didn't want to do it, but I'm like, this is pretty big news. This story is crazy.
Well, we got the national championship game tonight. We have Oregon players coming back. It. We have suspensions in Major League Baseball.
I can almost promise you this today, folks. There's going to be so much on this show and so many different sports that tomorrow's show will probably also be divisional round conversations because we're going to have to sort this mess out.
There's going
to
be leftovers. This is Houston needed to do something like this. First off, I wouldn't get into it now if you want to, but tip of the cap to Major League Baseball. I have had a fear behind the scenes now for a number of weeks that they were going to come down softly, a fine, and just kind of try and sweep this thing under the rug. But the integrity of the game has been in question now. Two of your last three champions have been accused of basically cheating throughout the course of the season. And if you don't come down swiftly on that, you don't have much, you don't have a leg to stand on as an organization or as a business. And so I thought they did the right thing with the draft picks taken away, the fines that they handed out, suspending them for a year, and good on Houston. Like, you needed to look in the mirror and say, what went on was incredibly inexcusable, and they needed to take some action as well.
Hey, they cheated and they got a title out of it. Good job. And well, guess what? Boston did the same thing, and the common denominator there is also Alex Cora, who if A.J. Hinch is getting suspended for a year and then eventually getting fired, I don't know if Boston's going to fire their guys. We don't know, but I'd imagine Cora's suspension has to be worse. And then if you're Boston, you kind of have to look in the morality mirror, right? If you're going to play this morality game with baseball players and steroids, you damn well should be playing this game with managers and GMs of organizations that are caught cheating red-handed.
Well, and if you, the report that came out today, I haven't had a chance to read through the entire thing because it came out at like 11:15 or something this morning. But the report, I've seen some people tweeting out snippets of it. The report said that Cora was the one that set up the monitors to cheat for Houston.
Yes, he did.
And Hinch like actually went and like tried to unplug him and said, listen, like he tried to get away from him a couple of times only for Cora to kind of reset the entire thing up. So you have that, him lying, and then doing it again in another place. I've seen some people throw it out there, and it probably would have been laughable before we saw the Astro suspension, but it honestly makes you wonder, does this deserve a lifetime ban?
For Cora, I would, if I'm like, Rob Manfred, I'm pretty close to deciding yes on that
one. Like, you set it up in Houston. They lied about the
thing.
They
lied about it in Houston.
Right, and then you did it again in Boston. You've had a hand in two of the last three championships that were aided by cheating throughout the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to give Pete Rose a lifetime ban for betting on his team to win and say the integrity of the game, you can't gamble, all that stuff, whatever. I get you shouldn't gamble, but I think you should be in the Hall of Fame, different conversation. But if you're going to take that punishment on Rose, tell me how what Pete Rose did was worse than what Alex Cora did.
Oh, there's no chance that it's worse. I think what the Astros and what Boston did is far worse than Pete Rose betting on his team to win the game, not bet against his team and take a dive. Here's the funny thing. I just thought about this. If you would have told me yesterday, hey, Sprague, when you come into work tomorrow,
top story,
Houston's going to fire their coach, I'd be like, Bill O'Brien's gone, huh?
Thank God. No. He deserves to get fired for that performance in Kansas City.
The coach in Houston fired today was A.J. Hinch. Bill O'Brien still has a job after having a 24-0 lead in a divisional round on the road and blew it.
He's calling all the shots, too.
Oh, man. All right. We got a lot to get to. We have two stops on the Daily Ticker. Well, I have one stop booked concrete, and then I got another one that I'm kind of trying to figure out the time zone with this individual. So we may have two stops today. We have a lot of football to get to. We will get to that baseball story coming up, the NFL whip around. The national championship game is tonight. A whole bunch of things to try to navigate through, and we'll try to do it our best. We'll start with some divisional round thoughts and then get to the Daily Ticker. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. All right, it's 12:16. Welcome back in on The Fan, Portland sports leader. I hope the fan base is out there of teams that fell in the divisional round are doing okay today. The sun did come up.
I saw a video of a Viking fan laying like face down in the rain. I can't remember who had it, but it was like Viking fan reaction to that game.
Dude, my brother-in-law went to the Packer game on Sunday, but he landed in Minneapolis, and they hung out in Minneapolis Saturday. So they went to a bar to watch the Niner game.
That's depression right there.
And it's funny because he texts me and he's like, hey man, I'm at a Viking bar. And I'm like, oh good. Tell him the Niners are going to run it down their mother bleeping throat. And then I text him at the end of the game. I said, how was the bar? He was like, I'd say the last half hour or so, it's pretty quiet. Nobody talking.
Yeah, you felt like maybe at a half, 14-10, you're like, we're in this thing. And then that evaporated quickly in the third quarter.
San Francisco said, you know what? We gifted you three. Calm down. You guys aren't close to us. Where do you want to start, man? There's so much going on today, and I'm almost like, should we start baseball? Maybe not. Football was so big yesterday and over the weekend.
I still think it's football. I think the baseball stuff will settle itself. I think there's going to be a more concrete thing when we see the Boston suspensions come down. We're efforting to get somebody on in the show later in the week to kind of break it all down for us. But I think on the divisional round, the fun part about this weekend for me, the games on Saturday sucked. Like, call a spade a spade. The San Francisco-Minnesota was okay in the first half, back and forth. You felt like, eh, maybe there's something there. And then they couldn't run the football and they couldn't stop the run. You can't win in the playoffs if you can't do that. Niners pulled away. And then Baltimore, they flirted with the comeback a little bit, but they kept turning it over and shooting themselves in the foot. But I will say this, the fun part about the weekend for me was watching the different ways in which teams won. Like, you had two teams on Saturday win games in dominating fashion in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs that you could argue their quarterbacks were obsolete. Essentially, Garoppolo made a couple of good plays early, a couple of third downs, I think, on their second touchdown drive. A couple of nice throws here and there, but he threw a bad pick at the end of the first half that handed Minnesota three. He didn't do a damn thing in the second half because he didn't have to. And you're now back-to-back weeks of the Tennessee Titans winning games against, one, the defending champions, and two, the team that was unbeatable in the regular season with their quarterback throwing for less than 90 yards. Like, it boggles my mind to watch that and then to fast forward to Sunday morning and watch Patrick Mahomes, like, basically single-handedly carry his team to a victory. And just the different styles, man. They were really fun to watch this weekend.
Well, that's the crazy thing is like, the ability of some guys versus what others may lack. You know, I had seen on the divisional thing, I mean, there's so many angles you can take, right? We started with the Seahawks. You mentioned the Viking-Niner game. I think easily the story for me over the weekend, you know, impressive comeback by Kansas City, a dominating performance by San Francisco. Green Bay escapes with their lives. Mm-hmm. It's Tennessee for me. Dirt, there's no chance I would have ever bought that they were going to be in the AFC title game this year if you told me preseason.
Nope.
And what they have done, what Derrick Henry has done, becoming the first back in NFL history of 180-plus rushing yards in three straight games.
He's unstoppable.
We went into that game, and I think we all picked Baltimore to win. We may have differed on point spread stuff, but like, we all thought Baltimore was winning because why? We thought ultimately in the third, fourth quarter, they were going to put eight in the box and Derrick Henry wouldn't go nowhere and then Tannehill ain't beating you.
Right.
Well, guess what? If you go read and study the amount per snap that they played eight in the box, or what would they call it? Eight and spy, five guys yeah. down, three guys spying, basically having eight. It was 30-some%, 40%. And it didn't matter. Like, Derrick Henry runs, and every time he runs the ball dirt, he gets 8 yards. He is a monster. He is a tough player to obviously get ready for. And the crazy thing to me is, I don't think I've seen anything like this. Like, this emergence of a player who was, he's not unknown. We knew Derrick Henry in college.
Sure.
But it reminds me of Kurt Warner. When Kurt Warner with the Rams in 99 came out of nowhere as a backup.
Like, where the hell is this coming from?
And the greatest show on turf was born, and they go and they win a Super Bowl. Because I remember those playoff games, one against the Bucs, and everybody was saying, well, the Bucs, man, they're experienced. They got this nasty defense. Kurt Warner's not going to beat them. And boom, Ricky Prohl gets a go-ahead touchdown. It's very reminiscent to me of that 99 Rams team. Nobody was picking them. Nobody was kind of talking about him kind of in that same light. Like, Trent Green was a big signing for them. And as soon as he went down, everybody gave up hope that they would be anything. Well, what happened here? Tennessee loses their starting quarterback because they bench him. Everybody writes him off. And it's not Ryan Tannehill. It's been Derrick Henry. And to watch him just take over the league the way he has.
It's nuts, man.
I'm assuming Kansas City's going to win.
Right.
But Dirt, if Baltimore can't stop the run, am I to believe that Kansas City will?
Yeah, that's the crazy part, is because I would have told you last week they didn't stand a chance to win that game. And they proved me wrong. And I'm going to probably argue the same thing all week. And I wouldn't be shocked if they proved me wrong again, the way they're playing defense and running the football. Here's the thing with the way Tennessee's winning, though. I think it's going to take... At some point, you're going to need Ryan Tannehill. At some point. Like, they have been so good defensively, and they've been so good running the football. And I wouldn't be surprised if Derrick Henry runs all over Kansas City again this weekend. But I think a big part of what they did defensively this past weekend, we have to be fair, Baltimore was completely banged up. And I think sometimes the rest thing, I don't have a hot take in the moment, because you've seen teams at rest and then go on to be fine, and you've seen teams at rest and go on to be really sluggish and clunky. It goes either ways, and depending on the argument you want to make, you pick and choose your examples. I always wait just to see how the team looks, and Baltimore didn't look like the same team. It looked like a team that sacked guys in week 17, and then they had a bye week, and they were dropping passes. They weren't firing on all cylinders. It's an offense that relies incredibly heavily on their tight ends, and basically every single one was banged up in that football game. And, you know, you heard the rumblings last week. You knew Mark Ingram was banged up. I didn't think he was going to be a complete non-factor that basically was only on the field for, what, 25% of their snaps? I mean, it turned into an offense that had Hollywood Brown on the outside and said, Lamar Jackson, you got to do it on every single play. We don't have a run game. You need to do it with your legs and you need to do it with your arms. And Lamar Jackson, he's not going to beat you that way because he needs to have that balance. There need to be other threats in the offense. And so I think that's part of Tennessee's dominance. And that's why I look at this weekend's game. Are they going to be able to keep Kansas City under control the way they have an aging New England offense that has struggled all season and a Baltimore offense that was completely banged up and didn't look like itself in the regular season? Because the analogy that I'll use with Tennessee, I think your one with Kurt Warner is spot on with how Henry's come on. I also connect it to kind of the same thing of what Philly went through a couple years ago. Whenever Philly, you know, Wentz goes down at the end of the season, it's like, dude, they don't stand a chance to win. Are you kidding me? Nick Foles isn't winning anything. And I've been arguing that for months now with Ryan Tannehill, and he's proven me wrong to this point. But eventually, what did Philly need? Eventually, they needed Nick Foles to have that game because he didn't do squat in their division around game. He didn't do much in the NFC title game. It was all defense and running the football. He needed to do it eventually, and he showed up in the biggest moment. I think there's something when you're playing Tennessee, you cannot fall down early, and you cannot shoot yourselves in the foot, because when they can run it and they can play defense, they're going to lean on you, and you're not going to be able to beat them.
Oh, they're going to kill the clock, right? Too. You're not getting that ball back. You know, the funny thing about the Baltimore thing that you mentioned, like injuries being a big part of their equation. Now, look, Lamar Jackson did not play well. The stats will show you a pretty decent game. I'm not going to call them garbage stats because – you're fighting to get back in that game. I don't know if that's garbage is the right term. But I don't put that whole loss on him. Like, he wasn't great. But as you mentioned, drops, your defense got torched. It just didn't seem like that they were ready, that there was this, like, the mental stop from where they were in the regular season to playing that same style in the postseason. I don't know if it was just injuries, but it's funny you mentioned that because they did rest week 17 and they did get that bye. Now, I know the other team that played in week 17 because they had something to play for, I thought they looked shaky after their bye, and that was Kansas City. Kansas City had the same thing.
Start, man.
Drops. Yeah. They were getting booed off the field. They had like three straight possessions where it was three and out, three and out, three and out. And Houston gets a block punt in there. They get a touchdown. They score a touchdown. And suddenly you look up, you're going, oh my God, it's 21-0. I didn't quite panic the way with Kansas City, the way I did with Baltimore. When Baltimore went down, I said, yeah, this isn't good. Because Lamar, when you go look at some of their tape, they didn't lose a ton of games. They were two losses.
They won, I think, 12 in a row to close out the regular season.
But I remember the one game I watched that it really reminded me of was the Cleveland game. Cleveland went into Baltimore and just annihilated
them. Chubb ran all over them.
Chubb just destroyed them. And I don't know why maybe we didn't think about some of this stuff a little more last week. I liked them with the 10-point cover, but I didn't think that they would go into Baltimore and win.
Win by 16.
And it just reminded me of that Cleveland game. I watched that Cleveland game, and I'm like, wow. Cleveland's defense showed up and, you know, kind of confused Lamar and slowed down the run. And then Nick Chubb was running all over him. They couldn't stop him when they needed to. It was really reminiscent of that. And I don't know if it's injuries, if it was the time off, it was a combo. But Tennessee caught him on the right day, and you give them a ton of credit because they did what they needed to do, and they did almost the impossible because nobody was picking them to win that game.
No, and I think, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves for next weekend, because I am excited for both matchups, just the styles and the fights. I think they're both going to be really fun games. I think San Francisco and Tennessee are similar in this regard. You have to make the quarterback beat you. And if you don't do that, you don't stand a chance. If Garoppolo can just have to throw 15 passes and go 9 of 15 for 120 yards because they're running the ball so efficiently and because they're playing such good defense, you don't stand much of a chance to win. And the same thing resides in Tannehill. Like, we can sit here and laugh at his numbers. I think Patrick Mahomes had more passing yards in the second quarter than Tannehill has had in two postseason starts.
Tannehill dropped those two touchdown bombs.
He threw two great touchdown passes.
One bomb and a good pass.
Sure, and I love the aggressive call after they got the stop on fourth down and they went for the jugular on the deep play action fake. Like, I love those play calls. But if you don't put the ball in his hands and say, hey, we're going to bottle you up a little bit, we're going to get up by 10 points, and you're going to have to throw your way back into this football game. Both San Francisco and Tennessee, they're too good defensively and they're too good at running the football that they just lean on you. And this time of year, man, defenses are tired. You played a lot of football. Guys are banged up. The last thing you want to see is San Francisco running it 8 straight times for a touchdown on one of their drives, or to see Derrick Henry running down your throat the entire second half.
All right, so we'll have more on the divisional, you know, results. San Francisco wins, Kansas City wins. Those are our two stops for the Daily Ticker. One more note to think on this, and this is, I think, speaks volumes about Tennessee and their defense, because a lot is made about Derrick Henry. Baltimore had eight possessions that they got to the Tennessee 36 or closer, and they only scored 12 points. I mean, if you told me that and you showed me Lamar's numbers, I would have thought they won by 16. And there's Tennessee going into Baltimore and beating the defending Super Bowl champions the first week and beating the number one seed in the entire thing the second week. And now they're in the AFC championship game. We'll stick in the NFL. San Francisco and Kansas City are two stops for the Daily Ticker, and we'll do it next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Our two stops are in the NFL divisional round. The San Francisco 49ers, they won the NFC West in Week 17. They had the first round bye, and they took on a Minnesota team that many thought could potentially pull off an upset. To talk about the Niners' win against the Vikings, our good friend down in the Bay Area, 95-7 the game, John Dickinson. He's on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. Give him a follow for all things Bay Area. John, it's good to have you back on with us up here in Portland, man. I did not expect, I was hoping for a good game, and obviously I was rooting for a Niner win. I did not expect to watch grown men bully other grown men for about 2 hours.
Yeah, that was the first time in quite a while that the 49ers turned the clock back to the first half of the season, guys, and thanks for having me on. It very much had that feel of the 8-0 start with the dominant defense and pushing 200 yards rushing and just physically manhandling an opponent, and a tough opponent. You know, say what you want about the Vikings. And they're a very skilled team, but they're also a very physical team, in particular on the defensive end. So to be able to kind of push them around was impressive, and I think it's a real good sign for the 49ers here moving forward into the NFC Championship game that they were able to get back to the formula that made them so dominant in the first half of the season before the schedule got tougher.
Yeah, you mentioned Minnesota. I mean, that's a team that just bullied New Orleans on both sides of the ball just a week ago, a team that was 13-3. And so that was what amazed me. You know, looking at the NFC title game this weekend as well, I think it's interesting that San Francisco and Green Bay have already played this year, and it was one of the more boring games of the NFL season. Like, I was jacked up for it, and San Francisco just boat raced them. Is there any fear of just having an over sense of confidence of this team knowing, like, man, we already manhandled this team. This isn't going to be a contest.
Yeah, I think so, and I think Kyle Shanahan is already trying to tamp that down. I mean, I'm coming from his Monday press conference as I'm speaking to you guys, just leaving the building, and, you know, he made a point. Hey, we know it's going to be different. That game got away from them. The 49ers had a big defensive play, forced fumble on Aaron Rodgers early that allowed them to get in the end zone. It was 10-0. And it was just a dominant physical performance on that night, and then there were enough offensive plays made along the way to turn it into a blowout. But he made a point to say it's going to be different. Everybody knows how good Green Bay is. Everybody knows how good Aaron Rodgers is, and that the game in November, back on the 24th of November, doesn't hold much relevance in what is going to happen in this game Sunday. But I got to be honest with you guys, I think the way things played out this weekend with the 49ers avoiding Seattle and really avoiding Russell Wilson, who's been their kryptonite, and he kind of played the same game he played against San Francisco a couple of weeks ago up there where the 49ers hung on to win. I mean, it was couldn't get much going, but it doesn't matter when Russell Wilson's on the field. Seattle's always got a chance to win, and that's especially been true against the 49ers. I don't think the 49ers wanted to see them in the first playoff game, meaning the divisional weekend. I think they would have been more comfortable playing, a Seattle team that had to actually go win two road games first. But having that wiped away and having the Ravens, another team that beat the 49ers in the regular season, having them lose as well, I thought it was actually a pretty good weekend overall. Not to say that this game's going to be easy for San Francisco, though.
Absolutely. John, we'll get you out of here on this one, my man. The matchup against Green Bay, you know, I think a lot of people might be thinking, all right, maybe they'll just run the ball again and dominate the clock. Let's go hypothetical here and assume Green Bay is going to study the film and say, all right, if we can shut the run game down, we're going to have a great chance here. If Green Bay is able to slow up their three or four running backs that they use and this relies on Jimmy G. Where do you think that confidence is right now that Jimmy G can go win you an NFC championship game?
Yeah, I think the confidence is high that he can do it. I think he showed it, you know, in tough environments, not only in Seattle, but in New Orleans. He showed it some in that first game against Green Bay. I think there was a belief that the Vikings matchup was a little bit of a bad matchup. After the quick start for the 49ers, the Vikings had hit him a couple of times. He was a little bit off his mark. And I think the 49ers were fortunate that that game didn't wind up being tied going in at halftime, where the 49ers maybe had to throw the ball on the Vikings' terms a little bit in the second half, with Garoppolo looking maybe a little bit more shaky. But no, I think there's a full confidence and a belief that to beat the Packers, you actually have to throw the ball. And you have to score, because you never know. Aaron Rodgers can keep you in a game. Even if the 49ers defense is playing well, he kind of has that knack in his career, similar to Russell Wilson, where it always feels like Packers games, when they've been a good team, wind up being a little bit closer than they should be, even if the other team is dominating. But it's throw the football, and throw the football over the middle. Throw the football to Kittle. Throw the football to Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel over the middle. Work the seams. I think that's where you can beat Green Bay. But you got to not turn the ball over, too. That's the other thing. I mean, turnovers, I really don't see Green Bay winning this game unless the 49ers turn the football over and give the Packers and give Aaron Rodgers the extra possession. Even if they match, I still think the 49ers can get enough stops to where they can swing it their way. But it's the extra possession or the short field touchdown, little swings like that, would be Green Bay's path.
Boy, John, thank you so much for hopping on with us. You guys are getting mighty greedy down there in the Bay Area with the Sharks, Niners, Giants. You guys are all just 10 Warriors, all taking turns just dominating each other's leagues and having success. Never a dull moment for you guys covering sports down there. John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game. John, we love having you on, my man. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. I didn't see this one coming. I mean, I was thinking 8, 9, and 7. I got to be honest. Yeah. I didn't see that one coming, guys.
Absolutely. It's a great story. There we go. Good stuff from John Dickinson, a 95.7 The Game of the Bay. The Niners going to the NFC title game. And the other side, the Chiefs were hosting the AFC championship game last year, and they unfortunately just were maybe
lined up onsides away from going to the Super Bowl.
An offsides call away from going to the Super Bowl. Jay Binkley, a 610 Sports Radio co-host of the Chiefs postgame show, and he's on Twitter at Three Guys in a Garage. Jay, thanks for coming on with us here in Portland, my man. What were your thoughts in the midst of 24-0? Were you like us, where you didn't doubt it because Bill O'Brien is coaching Houston, or did you think the Chiefs were in real trouble?
Well, that was a big thing, was Bill O'Brien, because there was just so many things in that game where Houston never really had control of the game. You know, the Chiefs were fumbling the football on returns. They never felt like they were in the game. So I even tweeted out, I said, here's where the comeback starts. I had full conviction the Chiefs would come back in that game, and, you know, they did. I just never felt like Houston had control of the game. I think Bill O'Brien made some dumb mistakes. not going for it and then running that fake punt. Just dumb mistakes.
Yeah, that was Bill O'Brien 101. We've seen that for years out of him. You know, and Mahomes has been such a dominant force now in the league for the last 2 years. I think we forgot about him a little bit this year just because Lamar Jackson kind of became the new cool, sexy story, but he had a great year. Where does this game rank for him? I mean, just watching him torch that defense play after play after play, essentially without a run game. Like, he didn't even try and run the football. Like, how impressed were you just watching him back there yesterday?
Well, I think it was his best game. You look at the 50 yards rushing that Mahomes had as well. And I know it was a big debate between Skip Bayless and those people that they would take Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, which I thought was absolutely dumb. Mahomes showed who the best quarterback going forward is. The guy's got ice water in his veins. He's never had a defense, finally does. Pat Mahomes is the difference in the NFL right now. In this division, this conference belongs to him. Two straight. In the AFC, I think the Patriots dynasty is done.
Yeah. All right, Jay, I think myself, my co-host, a lot of our list, I think we're all kind of wondering, did you coach linebackers yesterday, or is you just super pumped in the post game?
Man, we were just pumped in the post game, man. We had so many people yelling and screaming and, you know, coming back in that game. There was one for the ages, because usually Kansas City were on the opposite side of that.
Yeah.
But I tell you, Houston has to hate the city of Kansas City in 2015, it was the Royals doing this to the Astros.
Yeah.
And now the Chiefs doing it to the Texans. I mean, they have to hate us.
They absolutely do. I'm curious your thoughts on this. I'll get you out here with this one, because I actually feel bad every time you're talking, because I know you still have your show, your stuff that you're doing over there in KC. Do you like this matchup? Can they actually slow down? I don't want to say the word stop, because this guy is on something that we haven't seen. Can they slow down Derrick Henry enough to be able to control that game on Sunday?
You know what? I think they can. And if you go back to the previous meeting where Kansas City went to Tennessee, Kansas City owned that game. They should have won that game. They were moving the ball at will. Mahomes was having a huge day. But then they let Tennessee sneak back into it. They let Tennessee block a kick. And they let Tennessee do it. And keep in mind, Tannehill is the starting quarterback. And Derrick Henry ran for 188 yards. So that team was the same team they're going to see Sunday.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Jay Binkley, 610 Sports Radio, co-host of the Chiefs postgame show. He is on Twitter at Three Guys in a Garage. Jay,
sorry, guys.
We'll have to get you back on when your voice is back, and we have to get an explanation on the Twitter handle, because I need the story behind having a Three Guys in a Garage.
This never happens. This never happens. But it happened during the freaking AFC title game week. You know, this never happens.
It's okay. It's all right, man. Keep grinding out there, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right, fellas. All right, take care, guys.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Jay. He texted me, too. He was like, hey, man, my voice is kind of at 50%, and I'm in a car. And I just kind of thought, okay, doing the radio guy thing, exaggerating with the voice. Yeah. No, his voice is over 50% shot.
what a trooper. That was awesome. I can't even imagine having to go do radio if he's got to do some later on today. As a Chiefs fan, that was I can't remember a swing of emotions like that in quite some time. You know, the Colts-Chiefs game, I guess, a number of years back. Remember when Alex Smith had that big lead? I think
it was like 40-something to something, right?
I mean, they were smoking them, and Andrew Luck brought him back. Of course, the old Oilers-Bills game, we remember back in the day. So there's been a few of those.
Fourth largest comeback in NFL history.
I mean, 24-0.
Yeah.
24-0. And to erase it, not only erase it, but to do it before halftime.
Yes.
I don't think we'll ever see that. Like, it was 24-0 at the end of the first quarter. They led at the half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll ever see something like that again.
All right. Well, I'm kind of curious with folks going in on a Monday into the championship weekend of AFC-NFC. Is your dream matchup, is everybody's dream matchup the same here? And I want to see if it is.
Yes. If it's not, then you're lying, or you're just a diehard fan of one of those teams.
Well, we'll find out if the dream matchup is everybody's dream matchup. And then just some thoughts on the divisional round. We got the NFL whip round coming up at the top of the hour as well. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on The Fan. I'll tell you how I'm a coward. Like Bill O'Brien style.
You're going to kick a field goal on fourth and one with a team on the ropes?
Dude, what? Oh, what a wimp. What a coward. You don't deserve to coach an NFL team.
No.
You won't go for it on fourth and 2 inches with Deshaun friggin' Watson as your quarterback, but you'll fake punt with a guy I've never heard of before.
On your own 30.
On your own 30?
To hand Kansas City a short field and take it from a 24-7 game to a 24-14 game.
He may go down. I mean, it's entirely possible Deshaun Watson wins a Super Bowl in his career and somehow Bill O'Brien ends up still being the coach. Because, again, he's not the guy fired in Houston today. It's A.J. Hinch. I'd have never guessed that yesterday. But he's going to go down for me is that when people talk about coaches, if anybody dare bring up Bill O'Brien 25 years from now, I'm an old grumpy radio guy. Yeah. I'm like, what about Bill O'Brien? He's not in the Hall of Fame yet. He's got X amount of wins. I'm going to look at them. And I'm probably going to murder them because I'm old and I don't care anymore. And he is so, so, so bad.
So bad, man. And it was funny because you mentioned earlier in the show, we were texting UI and our buddy Kyle Knepper. We were texting during the games over the weekend and we were in lockstep. I think sending the text at the same exact moment. And I even sent out a tweet when he did it. You got to go for the jugular, man. Like you are a 10-point underdog. Nobody expected you to be in this spot. You were luckier than hell to beat Buffalo a week ago, down by 16, coming back to win it in a miracle in overtime, 2-point conversions, the whole thing. You have the number one seed in the AFC completely on the ropes. They're getting booed off their own field. They're playing so bad. They can't catch the football. They can't catch punts. They can't do anything right. They are just failing all over themselves. You have them on the ropes. And if you go for it there, I know it's only a 4-point difference if you end up scoring a touchdown. But just the mentality,
difference.
Man, of being down 28-0 at the end of the quarter or at the start of the second quarter, whatever it was, instead of 24-0. There's a demoralizing factor there, and to not go for it in that moment when you have Deshaun Watson, his excuse after the game was, we didn't have a play. Here's your play. Put the ball in Deshaun Watson's hands and let him run around and do something.
That told me all I needed to know about Bill O'Brien.
He can run. You can use his legs. You can throw a short pass. Like you can run past. Whatever you want to do. Put the ball in one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL's hands and make him do something. That was such a missed opportunity. You got to go for the jugular when you got him down. He didn't do it.
Well, what's 8 times 3?
24.
What did the field goal put him up?
24.
Okay, so right.
I a three possession.
I was
game
really
now.
Confused because I saw this a couple times on Twitter from national pundits, and I'm like, "Are you doing your math correct, or am I an idiot? I'm an idiot." But 8 times 3 is 24. You're only up 3 possessions. If you go for the fourth down play, you either don't get it and you pin them way on their own territory at like their own 10, or you get it and you capitalize and you bury them and you go up 4 possessions because you can't get 3 touchdowns to get to 24.
Nope. And like Kansas City didn't end up going for 2, so it didn't end up happening. But you went from a 3-score game to a tougher 3-score game.
I did not understand that ruling at all. And look, people differ on the tiniest of things of like, when did that game really lose? Some people don't think that that's when they lost the game. It was the fake punt. I don't care. We can differ on that.
It was both of them.
To me, both calls were egregious, yeah, and you lost the game because of both bad calls. And then to after the game, to even publicly admit with a quarterback of Deshaun Watson's caliber, we didn't have a play. There should be at least one sheet that says 4th and 2 or less.
Here's your play.
This is what we run with Deshaun Watson. How do you not have a play?
Well, and then
you don't have a 4th and 1 package at all?
I know. What the hell's wrong with you?
And how is he not fired today?
Because they don't have a GM and they don't have an owner. God. Like, he's calling the shots. That's how dysfunctional the Texans are. And even on top of all of this, too, I would probably say my favorite moment of that game, I want to go back and look at what point it was. So I think it was with 3-something minutes left. It was 48-31 was the score. And it was the fourth quarter. Yes. So there's 11 minutes left in the game. Here's the situation. There's 11 minutes left in the game. They have the ball in the Kansas City 42. They are down by 17 points.
Yeah.
And they have allowed Kansas City to score touchdowns on 7 consecutive drives.
Yeah. 41-0 run.
They are a 41-0 run.
Unbelievable.
And it was 4th and 4 from the Kansas City 42. He was going to punt.
He was. Deshaun Watson had to tell him, what are you doing?
They had to waste a timeout. And Bill O'Brien had to be talked into going for it. Down by 17, your playoff lives are on the line, and you haven't gotten a stop in the last 7 possessions.
I mean, look, Bill O'Brien could coach worlds and galaxies around me for football stuff. There's no doubt about it. You don't get that job on accident. But yesterday I was wondering, did he get this job on accident? There were so many moments that I'm like, look, I might not know how to break up or destroy this defensive scheme or what offensive set I should run. But I'll tell you, there's moments where almost everybody knows what to do. 4th and 2 inches with one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the league. You go for it to try to go up 28-0.
Roll the dice, man.
Fake punting at your own 30 after they had just caught some momentum.
They just scored a touchdown in like 4 plays like it was nothing.
Idiotic. And by the way, the delay on that fake punt made them be able to read that you were fake punting. If you remember that play, they got the clock all the way down to like 8 before they snapped it. And the guy that ended up getting the snap kept walking back and forth between the center and the just off right point. And you're like, usually when they do that, something fishy's coming. The Chiefs figured it out. He cost them an AFC title game berth.
Yeah.
I mean, he really did. And I kept thinking in my mind, because Baltimore got dominated, their season's done. I kept thinking, this is what Houston should do. You fire Bill O'Brien because thanks for getting us to just the wild card and that's about it. You go hire a guy like Greg Roman because Greg Roman has now successfully quarterbacked or at least drawn up plays to have Colin Kaepernick be your quarterback, mm-hmm, and Lamar Jackson won an MVP in your system.
Similar skill types to Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson can throw the ball.
Yeah, he's a better thrower than both of them.
Than both of them. So I could imagine his offensive system with a better quarterback gets even better, but that's not what they're doing.
Or
so.
Even the Kansas City. What's Kansas City's OC's name? Bieniemy, right?
Oh, Bieniemy. Eric, right? Bieniemy.
Go
Eric hire. Eric sleeping with Bieniemy.
Walk across the sideline and hire him after that game.
By the way, kudos Kansas City. 41-0 run.
They closed that game on a 51-7 run, and it makes you wonder if they would have just showed up in the first quarter, how badly they would have beat Houston.
So after the first quarter, as a degenerate who had the Chiefs at minus 10 mm-hmm. and thinking, oh, God, I'm going to lose this bet.
That was my only win of the weekend, and I'm not complaining about losing a bet for a month, man.
I checked it at the end of the first, and I said, well, let's just see what live betting is. Live bet at the end of the first quarter, leading at the half, the Chiefs were 70-1.
God, can you imagine having the stones to lay that bet?
I'm Bill O'Brien. I'm a coward.
I doubled down. When they were down 24-0, I said, what the hell? I got nothing to lose. All my bets are losing. I'm going down swinging with the Chiefs. But I didn't have the balls to take them leading at halftime down 24-0.
First team in NFL history to be down 20 in a playoff game and win a game by 20.
God,
it's unbelievable.
That was wild.
All right, we got a whole lot more to get to. I want to get back into Seattle coming up at 1:15. For those just tuning in, we kind of opened the show with it, and then baseball kind of interrupted a little bit. We'll talk about the Seahawks-Packer game because that one ended up being quite a doozy. We got the NFL whip around. Hour two is loaded, and it's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.